my positivity podcasts by Charlie. There's gonna be a special treat for you today. I'm going to be reading more of the book we've started. If you haven't already watched episode 1 of storytelling, go watch it now. It will just help you understand what's going on. Or if you don't want to, we will just jump right into the book. But first, I'd like to say I'm sorry I haven't been posting recently. Two of my best friends are being leaving, so it's a hard time for me. But one of them has left, and throughout this week and last week, I've been trying to spend as much time as I can for my friends since they've kind of lifted the ban about the coronavirus here. So, I'll see you soon for the book reading. Hope you like it. Love you. I've got the book and we'll start soon, but wait. Okay, I have to do that ASMR. So we're gonna start from where we started where we finished last time. And yeah, I'll start to read. She's in the Evil Queen's dungeon, remember? Snow White didn't know what to say. What love was she referring to? Are you speaking of my father? Snow White asked. The Evil Queen closed her eyes and shook her head. Naive is such a privileged trait, she said. Believe it or not, Snow White, I had my own life before I came into yours. Snow White grew quiet and slightly ashamed. Of course, she knew her stepmother had a life prior to marrying her father, but she had never considered what it had consisted of. Her stepmother had always been such a private person. Snow White had never had reason to. Where is my mirror? The Evil Queen demanded. It's to be destroyed, Snow White told her. Suddenly, the Evil Queen's stone came much heavier in Snow White's hands. Snow White didn't know if this was really happening or if she just was imagining it. Her arms became tired of holding the stone and she had to put it aside. There's so much you're not telling me, Snow White said. There's so many things you've kept from me all these years. The Evil Queen lowered her head and stared at the ground. She remained silent. I may be the only person in the world with any compassion for you. Please tell me. It is going to waste, Snow White pleaded. If there were events in your past that influenced your recent decisions, please explain them to me. Still, there was no response. I'm not leaving here until you tell me, Snow White yelled, raising her voice for the first time in her life. Fine, the Evil Queen said. Snow White took a seat on another stool in the cell. The Evil Queen waited a moment before beginning, and Snow White's anticipation grew. Your story will never forever be romanticized, she told Snow White. No one will ever think twice about mine. I'll continue to be degraded into nothing but grotesque villain until the end of time. But what the world fails to realize is that the villain is just a victim. Whose story hasn't been told. Everything I've done, my life works, and my crimes against you, has all been for him. Snow White felt her own heart grow heavy. Her head was spinning, and curiosity had taken over her entire body. Who, she asked so quickly that she'd forgotten to hold back the desperation in her voice. The Evil Queen closed her eyes and let the memories surface. Images of places and people from past flew out from behind her mind like fireflies in a cave. There was so much she had seen in her younger years, so many things she'd wished she remembered, and so many things she wished to forget. I'll tell you about my past, or at least the past. OMG, lots of door closing. Okay. I'll tell you about my past, or at least the past. Of someone I once was. Ooh, it's getting kind of cool. The Evil Queen said, but consider yourself warned. My story is not one that ends with a happy ever after. Okay, so the next chapter, it's about the main characters. And it's for their names. So it's changed scenes. This is in, I can't explain it properly, but you're just gonna, it's changing from these characters to these characters. These are the main characters. Once upon a time, Mr. Peters said to his sixth grade class, "These are the most magical words our world has ever known." So it's in the, like, the normal world. "Our world has ever known, and the gateway into the greatest, and the gateway into the stories, ever the greatest stories ever told." They are immediate calling to anyone who hears them, a calling into a world where anyone is welcome and anything can happen. Mice can become men, maids can become princesses, and they can teach valuable lessons in the process. Alex Bailey eagerly sat up straight in her seat. Do you know when you swallow some of your chapstick? It gets really, like, fly, and you feel like you need a cough. So yeah, that's what just what happened. Alex Bailey usually enjoyed her teacher's lessons, but this was something especially close to her heart. "Fairy tales are much more than silly bedtime stories," the teacher continued. "The solution to almost every problem imaginable can be found in the outcome of a fairy tale. Fairy tales are life lessons disguised with colourful characters and situations. The boy who cried wolf teaches the value of good reputation and the power of honesty. Cinderella shows us the rewards of having a good heart. The ugly duckling teaches us the meaning of inner beauty." Alex's eyes were wide. She nodded in agreement. She was a pretty girl with bright blue eyes and short strawberry blonde hair. She was always kept neatly out of her face with a headband. The way the other students stared at the teacher, as if the lesson being taught was in another language, was something Mr. Peters had never grown accustomed to. So Mr. Peters would often direct entire lessons to the front row where Alex sat. Mrs. Peters was a tall, thin woman who always wore dresses and resembled old patterned sofas. Her hair was dark and curly, and sat perfectly on top of her head like a hat, and her students often thought it was. Through a pair of thick glasses, her eyes were permanently squinted from all the judgmental looks she had given to the class over the years. She sounds like a typical teacher. "Sadly, these timeless tales are no longer relevant in our society," Mr. Peters said. "We have traded their brilliant teachings for small-minded entertainment, like television and video games. Parents now let obnoxious cartoons and violent movies influence their children. The only exposure to the tale some children acquire a version of bastardized by film companies. Fairy tale adaptions are usually stripped of every moral lesson the stories were originally intended to teach, and replaced with singing and dancing forest animals. I recently read a film on being created depicting Cinderella as a struggling hip-hop singer and Sleepy Beauty as a warrior princess battling zombies."
Okay, even though that sounds bad, I would actually kind of watch that because it sounds kind of cool, but I like the, like, norm. How much time do I have to say? Like, I like the, like, originals, so yeah. "Awesome," the student behind Alex whispered to himself. Alex shook her head. Hearing this made her soul hurt. She tried to share her disapproval with her fellow classmates, but sadly her concern was not reciprocated. "I wonder if the world would be a different place if everyone knew these tales in the way the Brothers Grimm and Hans Christian intended them to be known," Mr. Peters said. "I wonder if people will learn from the Little Mermaid's heartbreak when she dies at the end of a real story. I wonder if there would be so many kidnappings if children were shown the true dangers that Little Red Riding Hood faced. I wonder if delinquents would be so inclined to misbehave if they knew the conquerors of Goldilocks caused herself with three bears." Yeah, that would be kind of interesting. "There is so much to learn and prevent for our futures if we just open our eyes to the past teachings. Perhaps if we embrace fairy tales as much as we could, it would be much easier to find our own happily ever afters." If Alex had her way, Mr. Peters would be rewarded with a thunderous applause after each lesson she gave. Unfortunately, all that followed her class was a mutual sigh of relief among the students, thankful that they were over. "Let's see how well you all know your fairy tales," the teacher said with a smile, and began pacing around the room.
beautiful silk skin. When did the young maiden's father tell the king that his daughter could spin hay into?
Think about it. Does anyone know? I'll read again.
In Rumpelstiltskin, what did the young maiden's father tell the king that his daughter could spin hay into?
Okay, think about it.
Does anyone know? Mr. Peter scanned the classroom like a shark looking for wounded fish. Only one student raised a hand. Yes, Mr. Bailey. Mr. Peters called. He claimed she could spin hay into.
Okay, got your answer in your head?
3, 2, 1. Spin hay into gold. Alex said, very good, Mrs. Bailey. Mr. Peters said if she had a favourite student, not that she would ever admit to having one, Alex would have been it. Alex was always eager to please. She was a definition of a bookworm. It didn't matter what time of day it was, before school, during school, after school, before bed, she was always reading. She had the first in knowledge, and because of it, Alex was usually the first person to answer Miss Peter's questions. She tried her best to impress her classmates every chance she got, putting extra effort into each book report and class presentation she was assigned.
Oh no. Okay, if you can see, my screen just turned off, so I was worried that it stopped.
In every presentation she was assigned. However, this usually annoyed the other students, and Alex was often teased for it. She constantly heard other girls making fun of her behind her back. She usually spent lunch alone under trees, somewhere with an open library book. Although she would never tell anyone, Alex was so lonely that sometimes it hurt. Now, can anyone tell me what compromise was the maiden made with Rumpelstiltskin? Alex waited a moment before putting her hand up. She didn't want to seem like a total. She just pet trees. Yes, Miss Bailey, in exchange for turning hay to the gold, the maiden promised to give Rumpelstiltskin her firstborn child when she became queen, Alex said. That's a pretty steep deal, a boy behind Alex said. What's creepy old short man want with a baby anyway, a girl said next to him. Obviously, he couldn't adopt with a name like Rumpelstiltskin, another student added. Did he eat the baby, someone asked nervously. Alex turned around to face the clueless peers. You're missing the point of the story, Alex said. Rumpelstiltskin took advantage of the maiden because she was in need. The story's about a price of bad negotiation. What are you willing to give up long-term in the future for something short-term in the present? Get it? If Mr. Peters could change her facial expression, she would have looked very proud. Nicely put, Miss Bailey, she said. I must say, in all my years of teaching, I rarely come across a pupil with as much in-depth knowledge as a loud snore suddenly came from the back of the classroom. Suddenly came from the back of the classroom. A boy in the back row was slouched over his desk and drooling from the corner of his mouth. Very much asleep, Alex had a twin brother, and it was the moments like these that made her wish she had it. She didn't. Mr. Peters diverted her attention to him like a paper clip to a magnet. Mr. Bailey, Mrs. Peters asked. He continued to stalk. Mr. Bailey, Miss Peters asked again, kneeling down closer to him. He let out another enormous snore. A few of the students wondered how it was possible for such a loud noise to come out of him. Mr. Bailey, Mrs. Peters shouted in his ear, as if someone had lit a firework under his seat. Bailey jumped back to life, almost knocking his desk over. Where am I? What happened? Connor asked in a panicked state of confusion. His eyes darted around the room while his brain tried to remember where he was. Like his sister, he also had bright blue eyes and strawberry blonde hair. His face was round and freckled, and at the moment slightly smushed to one side like a basset hen when he first wakes up from a nap. Alex couldn't have been more embarrassed by her brother. Besides, sharing looks and a birthday, she and her brother couldn't have been more different. Connor may have a lot of friends, but unlike his sister, he had trouble in school, mostly trouble staying awake. I'm so glad you could rejoin us, Mr. Bailey said. Miss Peters said sternly. Did you have a nice nap? Connor turned bright red. I'm sorry, Miss Peters. I'm sorry, Miss Peters, he apologized, trying to be as genuine as possible. Sometimes when you talk for long periods of time, I doze off. No offence, I can't help it. You fall asleep in my class at least twice a week, Miss Peters reminded him. Well, you do talk a lot. Before he could stop himself from saying it, Connor knew it was a wrong thing to say. A few of the students had to bite their hair to stop laughing. I recommend you stay awake while I teach, Mrs. Bailey said. Mr. Peters frightened. Connor had never seen anyone squint their eyes so tight without shutting them before. Unless you know about fairy tales to teach this lesson yourself, yeah. She added, I probably do, Connor said. Once again, he spoke without thinking. I mean, I know a lot about this stuff, that's all. Oh, really, Miss Peters said. Miss Peters never backed down from a challenge, and every student's worst nightmare was that they'd be her challenger. All right, Mr. Bailey, if you're so knowledgeable, you answer this question. I'll read up to page 20, and we're on page 18. So it's probably the storytelling for 60 minutes.
When you read a book, you feel so tired, but even though it's like,
Connor gulped. In the original tale of Sleeping Beauty, how many years does the princess sleep before she's awoken by a true love's first kiss? Mr. Peters asked, studying his face. All eyes were on him, impatiently waiting for the slightest indication.
I think he might be good at this.
All eyes were on him, impatiently waiting for the slightest indication that he didn't know the answer. But fortunately for Connor, he did. 100, Connor answered. Sleeping Beauty slept for 100 years. That's why the castle grounds were covered in vines and stuff, because the curse affected everyone in the kingdom, and there was no one to guard him. Mr. Peters didn't want to say or do. Didn't know what to say or do. She frowned down at him, immensely surprised. This was the first time he had ever been correct when she put him on the spot. And he certainly hadn't expected it. Try to stay conscious, Mr. Bailey. Lucky for you, I used my detention slip this morning, but I could always request more. And promptly walked to the front of the classroom to continue her lesson. Connor sighed with relief, and the red drained from his face. His eyes met with sisters. Even she was surprised he had gotten the answer right. Alex didn't expect Connor to remember any fairy tales. Now, class, I want you all to get your own out your literature books. Turn to page 170 and read Little Miss Red Riding Hood quietly to yourself, Miss Peters instructed. The students did as they were told. Connor made himself as comfortable as possible at his desk and began reading. The stories, the pictures, and the characters were so familiar to him. One of the things Alex and Connor looked forward to the most when they were very young had been trips to their grandmothers. She lived up in the mountains. Mountains in the heart of the woods in a tiny house that could be best described as a cottage, if such a thing still exists. It was a long journey, a few hours by car, but the twins loved every minute of it. Their anticipation would grow as they travelled up the windy roads and through the endless trees. And when they crossed a yellow bridge, the twins would excitedly exclaim, "We're almost there! We're almost there!" Once they arrived, their grandmother would greet them at the door with open arms, "Oh, I'm so tired from reading," and hug so tight they would almost pop. "Look at you two, you've both grown a foot since I last time I saw you," Grandma would say, even if they hadn't. Then they would lead them inside, where freshly baked batch of cookies waited for them. Their father had grown up in the woods and would spend hours each day telling the twins his adventures as a kid, all the trees he climbed, all the streams he swung, and all the ferocious animals he barely escaped from. Of his retellings were highly exaggerated, but they loved this time with him more than anything else in the world. "Someday when you're older, I'll take you to all the secret places I used to play," their father would tease them. He was a tall man with kind eyes that would wrinkle whenever he smiled, and he smiled quite a bit, especially when he was teasing the twins. At night, the twins' mother would help their grandmother cook dinner, and after they had eaten, as soon as the dishes were done, their family would sit around the fireplace. Their grandmother would open her big storybook. She and her father would take turns reading the twins' fairy tales until they fell asleep. Sometimes,
my screen went back again.
Wait. They told stories with such deep reading the fairy tales asleep. Sometimes the Bailey family would be up until sunrise. They told the stories with such detail and passion that it didn't matter how many times the twins heard the same story, they were the best memories a child could ask for. Unfortunately, the twins hadn't been back to their grandmother's cottage in a very long time. "Mr. Bailey!" Miss Peters shouted. Connor had dozed off again. "Sorry, Mr. Peters," he bellowed back, sitting straight up on his seat like a soldier on guard. If looks could kill, Connor would have been dead from the scowl she was sending him. Okay, I just folded the page at page 21. I hope you liked it. I think it was really nice, and I kind of needed to be calmed down. I'm kind of stressed because I forgot to tell. I'm graduating this week, so it's a very big deal. So I'm gonna have to, probably I'm busy. So yeah, I hope you guys had a fun time. I love sharing this book with you. It's my all-time favorite. It gets very interesting in this new series, and it's really hard. You know when you know something but you can't tell them, and you're just like, that's how I'm feeling. Something big's gonna happen, and they're gonna discover something big, and just think about what might happen. Or if you're a cheater, you can Google it, like my sister. So thank you. And by the way, thank you guys for 25 views, and I have some of my actives. I have 4 actives, so whoever those 4 actives are, thank you. And thank you for the people who have been watching these. Love you guys. See you soon. I'll play a song too, like I always do. Mwah!